Mark chapter 2 in your Bible. I'd like to consider this passage, very familiar passage of Scripture, that I've entitled the message tonight, Overcoming All the Obstacles. We know this story. Best thing we can do right now, I think, is just read this passage and get into the lesson. It says here, verse 1 of chapter 2, and again he entered, now this is speaking obviously of the Lord Jesus Christ, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noised that he was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he, the Lord Jesus, of course, preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was borne or carried of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. So they uncovered the roof where Jesus had been preaching, where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with this passage. Some people call it the quartet that brought down the roof, right? I'd like to consider this as the overcoming all the obstacles. Now, as we get into this passage, you realize, you know, this is one of the most famous miracles that Jesus performs, healing the lame man, the man who was paralyzed. And Jesus, however, as we read through the Gospels, you notice that his ministry was quite amazing, to put it mildly. It says in chapter 9 of Matthew, verse 35, and he went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now, though Jesus did many miracles in his ministry, each miracle had a specific purpose. And the miracle that we notice here in Mark chapter 2 is something that points to the fact that he is the very Messiah that had been prophesied in the Old Testament. In fact, when Jesus was preaching and performing his miracles, there was an episode in Luke chapter 7 where John the Baptist, while he was in prison, sent his disciples to ask Jesus if he were indeed the Messiah that they were waiting for, or should they be looking for someone else. And Jesus responded to them and said, Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. Why did Jesus send those messengers back to John with that specific message? It was because John would have known that Jesus is fulfilling the Old Testament scriptures, specifically those in Isaiah 35 and other chapters in Isaiah as well, that he is fulfilling exactly the prophecies regarding the Messiah. And so Jesus' purpose for coming to the world, his first coming, was not primarily to heal the world of every disease or put every government into subjection or to bring peace on the earth. Jesus' first coming main purpose was to reconcile mankind unto God through his own sacrifice on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, there's coming a day when Jesus will return and establish his kingdom, on the earth. And there will be peace on earth. He will reign in righteousness from Jerusalem. And he will heal every sickness and every disease and so on. But that, not every disease, that was not his purpose for his first coming. Jesus didn't come to the world the first time simply to heal every disease. But Jesus did come to the earth the first time to pay for our salvation and to reconcile us unto God. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, very clearly, very simply states Jesus' purpose. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, we need to keep that in mind when we think of the fact that man's greatest need is not his physical need. Before Jesus was brought this individual that was paralyzed, he could not move. But his greatest need, you would think someone who's totally paralyzed, that is the most dominant characteristic in his life. You would think that that is the biggest problem of his life. But truly, his biggest problem was his sin problem. And we notice that Jesus first forgives him of his sins, and then he heals him, heals his body. Now, man's greatest need is to be reconciled to God. And today, God has given us, believers, his children, the responsibility of bringing people to Jesus. Mark chapter 10 says regarding, verse 45, regarding the Lord's purpose, the Son of Man is come to give his life a ransom for many. And so as these men brought their friend, or these individuals brought their friend to Jesus that he might be healed, Jesus recognized that his primary problem was his sin problem. And God has given us, believers, the ministry of bringing people to Jesus, or of bringing men before the Lord so that they can be reconciled to God. Now, in Mark chapter 2, we have a wonderful example of these four individuals that overcame every obstacle. You see, in bringing people to Jesus, there are many obstacles. And these four individuals overcame all the obstacles so that they can bring their friend to Jesus. And we need to learn from these men, from these individuals, and have the same determination to overcome all the obstacles so that we can bring people to Jesus. Okay? Now, number one, let's look at this in verse 3 and verse 5. First of all, I want us to notice that there was a great need. This man had, first of all, a physical problem. Verse 3, it says that he was sick of the palsy. He was paralyzed, to put it very simply. He could not move. There wasn't a thing that he could do for himself. He couldn't dress himself. He couldn't go to work for himself. He couldn't cook for himself. He couldn't go shopping for himself. He could not take care of his family. He needed his family or friends to take care of him. There wasn't a thing he could do for himself. There was no way for him to come to Jesus. There was a great opportunity, but there was no way for him to come before Jesus on his own. He needed someone else to take him. This man had a physical problem. But beyond that, verse 5 shows us that he had a spiritual problem. There are many people in the world that have physical problems. Listen, we flew to Albania. And Albania, although it is a European country, it's not part of the EU, it is a underdeveloped nation. There are many other places in the world that have even greater problems than Albania. My wife could tell you that when we drove by, we saw the gypsy camps. We traveled to an orphanage. You know, in Italy, when I was in college, I remember I had a burden for orphans. I remember reading biographies. George Mueller, right? George Mueller. I was reading a biography on George Mueller, and I thought, you know what? Maybe I'll go to Italy and start an orphanage. And I remember talking to our English professor at the time, Mrs. Rosenau, and I said, what do you think about me going to Italy to start an orphanage? And she responded to me, and she said, are there orphans in Italy? You know, there actually aren't any orphans in Italy. That's not a social problem in that country. But there are, we traveled to Albania and I got to preach in an orphanage in Albania. There are many problems in the world. There are medical mission trips that the missionary Mike Fiocchi hosts, a medical mission trip, a team from North Carolina, in fact, Hope for the World, I believe. And or is that Operation Renewed Hope? Operation Renewed Hope that goes over to Albania and other places in the world. There are many problems in the world. Look at what's going on, obviously, in Israel, in Ukraine, and many other places in the world. But the greatest problem that exists in the world is man's sin problem, not the social problems or the other problems that exist in the world. And so Jesus addresses this man's sin problem before he ever addresses his physical problem. Verse 5 says, "And when he saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee." Now, there are many other things that we can get into regarding this passage. But the main thing is this that I want us to see. He had not only a physical problem, but he had a spiritual problem. There are health issues. There are political problems. There are wars and corruption. But no problem is bigger than the sin problem that exists in the world. That is his greatest need. Man's need is to have his sins forgiven. And there's only one way that anyone can ever be saved and have their sins forgiven, and that is to come before the Lord Jesus Christ, to understand that Jesus Christ can be their Savior. Jesus came to the world primarily to solve the sin problem of the world. One day he's coming again to solve every other problem in the world. And so Jesus could have healed all the sicknesses of the world the first time. But that wouldn't have solved man's biggest problem. He could have fixed all the governments in the world, but that wouldn't have solved the biggest problem. And my sin and your sin has separated us from God. And solving all the problems in the world would not solve our separation from God had it not been for Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. All of this that Jesus accomplished for us when he came to the earth and he was betrayed by one of his closest friends. He was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was falsely accused. He was condemned. He was scourged. He was spit upon. He was mocked and beaten with rods. He was smitten. He was stripped of his clothing. A crown of thorns was laid upon his head. He was led to Calvary. He was nailed to the cross. A spear pierced his side. He was suspended between heaven and earth. And more than any other suffering that he suffered physically, all of the sins of the world, mine and yours, were laid on his shoulders that day. And his Father had to turn his back on him that day and forsook him on the cross because he was so intimately identified with our own sin. And Jesus Christ did all of this so that he could address our greatest problem, our sin problem. This man in the passage had a physical problem, but he also had a sin problem. And today there are still many people in the world that face all kinds of difficulties. But we need to remember, with all the difficulties that there are in the world, people simply need the Lord. They need salvation. Now, secondly, there was a great opportunity. Now, this is very, very simple, but think of how amazing it was. This man had a sin problem, he had a physical problem, but Jesus came to his town. Imagine the fact, you have a physical problem, you're paralyzed, you know that Jesus Christ has all the power in the world to heal your disease, and Jesus comes to your town. Imagine if Jesus Christ came to Shelby, North Carolina. Imagine what an opportunity that would be for everyone. There was a great opportunity for this man because Jesus had come to his town. Now, although Jesus had come to his town, he had no way to get to him because there were still many obstacles. But let me just say this. There is a great opportunity in the world today. That man had a great opportunity. But don't we have a great opportunity in the world today? Listen, for thousands of years we waited for the Savior, and he finally came. For thousands of years we waited for our redemption to be paid for. And Jesus finally came. And today there is a wonderful opportunity. Jesus Christ has paid for our sins. He's risen again. He is seated on the right hand of the Father. And now there is an opportunity for the gospel to be spread all around the world. Even today, there is a great opportunity. But if only we could bring people face to face with Jesus, they could have their sins forgiven. There's never been a greater time in the world than there is today to preach the gospel around the world. It's been that way since Christ rose again, since he sent his disciples on the Great Commission. But I would say in these last days, we are enjoying the greatest freedoms, the greatest opportunity to travel around the world, the greatest liberties to proclaim the gospel, the greatest resources available to us. We need to take advantage of the opportunity that there is to bring the gospel to people, because there's no other way for them to be saved. Let's move on. Verse 3 and 4, there were many obstacles. Again, as you saw there, there came unto him one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. This was a paralyzed man. He could not move for himself. You could imagine the dead weight. Now, 2 years ago, my father, who had been enjoying for 89 years and three quarters, some people in here still remember meeting my dad years ago. For 89 years and three quarters, he enjoyed almost perfect health. And then he had a massive stroke 2 days after Christmas in 2022. And my dad was not a very large man. He was only about 5'5". But I can tell you that even just trying to move him after that stroke that he experienced, he was totally immobile. He could not move for himself. He was paralyzed. And even just trying to move him off of his bed onto a gurney was extremely difficult. I remember one time we had to call the ambulance because we had to transport him to the hospital. And he lived in an apartment, and so there were some stairs we had to go down. And we couldn't go down on a regular stretcher with wheels. We had to put him on a fabric type of gurney where we could lift him with our arms, and four of us men on either side of him had to carry him out of the building and then lay him on a regular stretcher and put him into the ambulance. Listen, that was an extremely difficult thing to do, and we were only moving him 20 or 30 feet. You can imagine the difficulty in carrying this man who knows how many blocks or how many hundreds of yards or maybe even miles to the other part of the town. There were many obstacles for this man to be brought before Jesus. When they got there were too many people there. They couldn't even access the Lord Jesus because of the crowds that were around him. And then there was a limited amount of time because Jesus wasn't going to be there forever. To be very honest about that, he wasn't going to be there forever. Now, let's think about that in the context of the Great Commission. There are many obstacles. The mission field is far away. The mission field is expensive. There are language barriers. There are legal barriers for entering a country. There are cultural barriers. There are many difficulties. But all of those obstacles need to be overcome if we're ever going to bring people before the Lord. And these men showed a great compassion when they took their loved one and brought and overcame all of the obstacles. Now, so fourthly, there was a great compassion. We don't know who carried this man to Jesus. It could have been four men. It could have been four friends. Could have been four sons. We don't know. Could have been four brothers. It could have been two daughters and two sons. It could have been cousins or a mom and dad and two brothers. We don't know who it was, but it was four individuals. It doesn't say that they were men here. We imagine that. But there were four individuals that had compassion on this man. It could have been four neighbors, it could have been. We don't know but who brought this man to Jesus, but we know that this man did not bring himself. Four people had to bring him to Jesus. This man had both a physical and a spiritual problem, but if four people had not had compassion on him, he would never have been forgiven of his sins and he would have never been healed of that disease. By the way, if you're saved today, if you've come to Christ, a lot of people have been involved in that. It wasn't just one preacher one time that preached the gospel to you. If you heard the word of God preached in a church service, there were a lot of people that contributed to that. There were a lot of people who poured their lives into that preacher to be able to preach the Word of God. There were a lot of people that decided to come together and have a church. A lot of people that came together that had either a vacation Bible school or decided to have an evangelistic meeting. Or maybe your parents praying for you for years. Or maybe a grandmother or a neighbor that invited you. If you got saved, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, a lot of people were involved in your salvation. It takes a lot of people to bring even just one individual to Christ. It takes the entire church, and it takes many churches to send a missionary so that people can be brought before the Lord so that they can be saved. Everyone should at least have the chance to get saved. This man had the chance because he was brought by four individuals. It wasn't just one. It was a great compassion, but it was also a great effort. Think about where they had to carry him all the way to Jesus. They had to find a way. They had to make their way across town. And when they got there, there were so many people that they could not access the Lord himself. And so they had to put their minds together and consider getting up onto the roof. Did they climb a ladder? Did two guys go up and then with ropes hoist him up? Or did two of them, I don't know, how did they do this? It was a tremendous amount of effort. There's a good friend of mine. I don't know if you ever heard of him. His name is Dwight Smith. He came to Italy just last year, and he's been 7 times to Italy and preached 7 different evangelistic meetings for us. And 2 years ago he came, or a year ago he came, and he preached on this subject. And our church in Italy is in a storefront. It's like a shopping center. And our roof line, if you've been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Our roof is slanted like this, kind of like it's slanted here, but on just on one side. And we have a balcony, and our ceiling is quite high. So Dwight had the idea. He said, Frank, I'm preaching on this passage. I want to show the people what it would have been like to lower a man from the roof. I'll take my son Timothy, and we will lower him from the balcony, and so that we could get him down right here in front of the pulpit. And I looked at him. I said, Dwight, listen, our balcony is high. It's at least 10 feet high. And I said, Dwight, we can't do that. He's like, Frank, we got to show the people. I said, Dwight, that is way too difficult to do. He said, Frank, we got to show the people. I said, Dwight, that is dangerous. Now, let me ask you a question. How much effort did those men put into this? They were willing to do something difficult. They were willing to do something dangerous. Are you willing to do something difficult to bring people to Jesus? Are you willing to face danger to bring people to Jesus? Brother Dr. Ben Sinclair is an executive director of Baptist World Mission. Just not too many years ago, he was a missionary in Cameroon. And he experienced a tragedy while on the mission field. Well, his co-worker was killed while he was driving the vehicle, was shot. Brother Wesco was shot and killed while Dr. Sinclair drove the car in Cameroon as a result of being caught in the middle of their civil war. And they didn't realize how dangerous the situation was, and Brother Wesco was killed that day. And Brother Sinclair did not immediately escape the country because of that. They remained. They moved to another part of the country when that became necessary. But the point is this. They are burdened for Cameroon, and they would do anything to get over to Cameroon. And there are missionaries in Cameroon today, and there are missionaries serving the Lord around the world in difficult places and in dangerous places, in places hard to reach. Why? Because they have a great compassion, and they're willing to put forth great effort simply to bring people to Jesus. There are great needs in the world. There are spiritual needs. There are physical needs. But there's a great opportunity. We just need to have enough compassion. And we need to have a determination to put forth the effort. And these men not only had compassion on their friend, but they also had a great faith. Verse 5 says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now this man who was forgiven and who was healed could not have been saved had he not had faith in Jesus. Okay? That's obvious. But it says here that when Jesus saw their faith, they all had to have faith. They knew that if they can simply bring their friend, if they can bring their friend to Jesus, Jesus could make a difference in his life. Jesus could do something for him. So why did these men do this for their friend? Why did they go through all of the effort? It was because they knew that only Jesus could solve their problem. And the problems that are in the world today, there is only one solution to all the problems in the world, and it is Jesus. Every individual needs Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And they cannot come to Jesus on their own. We were commanded to bring the gospel to them and to bring people to Jesus. The Great Commission says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That word teach simply means to make disciples. That means this: you're leading people to follow Jesus. You lead people to follow Jesus. You're introducing them to the Lord Jesus Christ so that they might become followers or disciples of Jesus. It takes faith to be saved, but it also takes faith to bring others to Jesus. It takes faith to realize that it is worth it to give your life to bring people to Christ. Is there John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave his Son so that others could be saved, so that we could be saved. Are you willing to give something so that others can be saved? So that others can be reconciled to God? When Jesus looks into our hearts, does he see the great faith that he saw in these men's hearts? Are you willing to trust the Lord to put forth some effort and even face danger to bring people to Jesus? There was a great faith they put forth. There were great obstacles. They had a great compassion. There was a great effort put forth. There was a great faith. But finally, there was a great result. We see here in the passage, I'm not going to read it again, you're familiar with it. He was healed. He was forgiven. His sins were forgiven. And then there was that controversy, and we won't go into that because there's a whole other message in there regarding the deity of Jesus Christ and his authority to forgive sins and the controversy over the blasphemy and so on and so forth. But Jesus forgave sins. Which is easier, to say thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say take up thy bed and walk? Well, it's easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee, right? Because you cannot look into people's hearts and know whether they're forgiven. But is it easier to forgive sins? It cost Jesus everything. Oh, it's easier to heal them. You know what's easier for you and me? To help people with their physical needs than it is to help them with their spiritual needs? Jesus wants us to help people with their spiritual needs. Which is easier? Jesus said. Jesus proved that with him, neither one are a problem. Now, he certainly paid the price so that his sins could be forgiven and so that yours and mine. But there was a great result. Listen, very simply this. Everyone who comes face to face with Jesus can be saved. Everyone who comes face to face with the gospel can be saved. Every time you preach the gospel to someone, they can be saved. Every time someone learns that who Jesus is and what he's done for them, everyone can be saved if we can get the gospel to them. And everyone who accepts Jesus Christ as Savior by faith will be saved, of course. And everyone who gets saved, listen, can bring others to Jesus. Just like those four individuals. You don't have to be a man. You don't have to be a missionary. But you do have to have faith. You do have to have compassion. You do have to put forth effort. You may have to overcome many obstacles. But isn't it worth it? I believe that these men, I believe these men were fully, after all of that experience that day, and after this, we're done tonight. But that day, can you imagine, after everything they went through, hey, guys, Jesus is in town. Let's go to our friend's house. Or let's go pick up dad. Or let's go get our brother and carry him on over there. The other guy, what are you talking about? That's like a kilometer away. And they go through all that. And then they get there, and there's too many people they can't access them. And the other guy's like, let's climb the roof. And then there's a guy, his name is Frank. He says, no, we can't do that. It's too dangerous. And the other guy named Dwight says, yeah, man, let's do it. And so Frank says, yeah, all right, let's do it. It was a great result that day because these four individuals had enough compassion and enough faith to face the difficulties and overcome all the obstacles. Listen, what is stopping you from bringing people to Jesus? What's stopping you? Any one of those things we listed? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this great passage. What a joy it is to open your word and to see this example that you gave us so that we would learn that we ought to be willing to overcome all the obstacles, Lord, so that people can come face to face with you. There's no greater thing we could give our lives for than to simply bring people to Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this passage. But God, I pray that in this congregation, that there would be many that would say, Lord, I am willing to bring people to you, even if it means traveling a great distance, even if it means facing a great difficulty, even if it means I have to face danger. And Lord, would you send laborers into your harvest field? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.